received the presentation from the National Empowerment Fund on their strategy and their annual performance plan for 2018-2019. That's one item on the agenda. Our next normal agenda item would be to just register apologies. Can we, Sepeka, do we have any apologies?
Thank you, Chair Pepper. Yes, we do have two apologies. The first apology is for Ms. Matebula, and the second one is Ms. Salato.
Okay, Ms. Matebula spoke to me. She's got academic responsibilities, and Mr. Lund is not well. Can I also indicate that Honourable Father said he'll be here, so he'll most probably join us just now. The other items on the agenda for today, Honourable Members, is after the presentation, we will have the minutes that we need to adopt, and then after the minutes, we'll assist announcements. There's announcements that we need to make. Honourable Members, let me say that this is our last meeting for this term, and if we need to evaluate ourselves, I think that in terms of committee meetings, we have done relatively well, and I want to thank you. It is because of your cooperation that we have been able to achieve in the space of committee meetings. Thanks very much for that. I will give an opportunity to the members of the committee to introduce themselves, and then we'll give you, your team, an opportunity to introduce yourselves and the colleagues from the Department of Trade and Industry that's accompanying you. And immediately after that, we would go through the presentation. I see that your presentation is quite brief. Is that the way they put it? You have given us sufficient information, which we value and appreciate. Thank you to your team and those that worked with you on the preparation thereof. But we would want to give to you like an hour maximum to do the presentation so that we can use the remaining time to engage with the presentation. And if you wish to delegate any members of your team, I know you come as a team, we are leaving that into your discretion. My name is Eddie Makur, and I represent the province of Hate.
Good morning. I am Asifa Kodekhale. I'm representing Limpopo province.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Manja Khai, representing the Eastern Cape, member of the committee.
Hi, Chair. My name is Anton Teta, representing the province of KwaZulu-Natal. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Chair, my name is Boimotlan Tebe. I'm part of the committee.
I forgot, it's actually Khara, but okay. My name is Willem Faber, and I represent the Northern Cape.
Assumes I'm a Kwebo, Eastern Cape.
Morning, everybody. Ismail Hussain, PMG.
CFO Good morning, members. My name is Rakesh Gerat, and I'm the chairperson of the board of the National Empowerment Fund.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Klingel Makatsini. I'm the division executive at the National Empowerment Fund.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Carol Magra. I'm a data analyst at Transition Planning at the National Empowerment Fund.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mabule Bandeka, and I am the executive assistant to Ms. Kelly Mbutu.
Good morning. My name is Roj Nadal. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm Jody Skull from the group COO at the DTI.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Lisa Teto. I am the acting chief director responsible for BEE. Thank you.
Good morning, once again, honorable members and colleagues from the DTI here present. So thank you for this opportunity to present to you the strategy and the annual performance plan of the National Empowerment Fund for the period 2018-2019 up to the end of 2021. So you will see that we have a lot of members from the National Empowerment Fund. So when they are here working in Cape Town, a honorable chairperson, I always encourage them to just join me, because sometimes when you give feedback to the colleagues, it's better when they get it from the person's mouth. So this was supposed to be the chair, CFO, myself, and the divisional executive, and I decided to add the other two members. So, chairperson and honorable members, our presentation will specifically focus on the strategic planning framework and objectives, the NEF activity summary and the sector analysis, the provincial dynamics, update on Project Gobanu. Project Gobanu is the process of incorporating the NEF into the IDC. We'll look at the annual performance plan for 2018-19 up to 2021, the NEF life to date, performance milestones, our key priorities, and the work we have done in the thought leadership space, as well as the progress the NEF continues to make in growing black industrialists. Chairperson, as the committee is aware, the NEF is the only DFI which is exclusively mandated to grow black economic empowerment in South Africa. Chairperson, even though the NEF places an important focus on commercial viability, our mandate also focuses on softer measures in assessing applications for funding, and these include important development indicators such as black women empowerment, community involvement, black ownership, which must comply with NEF product criteria. We look at each and every investment, and we want to see how many jobs will be created as a result of investing in that particular project. And of course, we look at the geographic location of the business. So if a business is located in the rural areas, if it involves communities, if it's in one of the economically depressed areas of the country, we will actually give it special attention. But also when we apply our pricing, we actually give it softer, funding as opposed to just doing a normal transaction. So these measures form part of the developmental ethos which the NEF upholds as the underlying theme of its funding strategy. And together these constitute a methodology by which we evaluate the impact of our work. And this is what we refer to as the empowerment dividend. So for us, this is what really differentiates the NEF from your commercial bank, because the commercial banks will be looking at the financial return only and commercial viability. And we also look at those but what really drives us is to actually try and assess the developmental impact of the work that we're doing. So you shouldn't believe, honorable members, people who say, oh, these DFIs are the same as, you know, your commercial banks. It's definitely not the same. It's also about how we interact with our investors. You can just walk through our doors, even if you don't have a piece of paper, there will be somebody who will listen to your story. Whether you're related in Sotho, in Xhosa, in Zulu, there will always be somebody who will actually try and translate that into the work that you are trying to do. So the NEF offers an array of non-financial support interventions, starting with a pre-investment funding as the first point of contact, through which the NEF provides product advisory services. That's where we manage the online business plan solution, and that's where we facilitate entrepreneurial training and incubation. The NEF Socioeconomic Development Unit was established to empower black people in existing transactions and other broad-based groups through various social development interventions, such as social facilitation, entrepreneurial training and investor education, corporate governance training and market access to facilitate meaningful participation. So you'd be aware that there will be those transactions, so you'll have the project sponsors, but together with the project sponsors, you also have maybe community trust that will also benefit from our transactions. So what the socioeconomic division does is to actually go and educate our people about what it means to be a shareholder in some of these particular projects, but also to just guide them in terms of their responsibilities, because it doesn't just help to be a passive shareholder in a project if you don't actually understand the type of an investment that you're actually involved in. So through the post-investment unit, the NEF provides ongoing portfolio management and mentorship support and is responsible for collections as well as legal compliance. Lastly, honorable members, we have the turnaround workouts and restructuring unit, which focuses mainly on rehabilitating distressed transactions and reducing impairments. So when our transactions move into the ICU for whatever reason, we don't just walk away. We'll actually work with turnaround and specialists. We'll go in there. We will go and even assist our entrepreneurs to negotiate with government departments. If government departments owe them money, we will walk along with them to actually go and, you know, try and sort those issues out. So that's what this division is responsible for. So this is the unit. This the unit does through a combination of measures, including balance sheet restructuring, equity and working capital injection, operational restructuring, and in certain instances, introduction of a strategic equity partner or a turnaround specialist to help bring about operational and business recovery. Chairperson and honorable members, the NEF, just to recap, I know that we have dealt with this matter before, but just to refresh your memories, the NEF was capitalized by 2.4 billion rand in 2006 and has been able to more than double the capital base to about 5 billion through prudence and good governance. So what we essentially did here, honorable members, we got the 2.4 billion and we've been disbursing it over the years, and with the interest, you know, repayments that we're getting from our investee companies, we've actually been able to grow the value of the NEF from the initial 2.4 billion that was injected to about 5 billion. So the NEF has been able to collect from the loans and reinvest it, below that capital to allow a total of 6.3 billion rand to be injected into the economy. So this chairperson shows that if the NAF had received the full capital allocation of 10 billion as announced by the then president, the then previous president Thabo Mbeki in 2006, we believe that we could have tripled the investments that we have made into the South African economy. So what has been said about the NEF story is that our government decided that, okay, because we have already mentioned that we are the only DFI that was set up to drive the implementation of BEE in the economy. So we don't know what happened between the announcement that was made by President Thabo Mbeki, the previous administration, which then prevented them from, you know, from investing the full 10 billion that had been allocated initially. So what this says is that our government and our parliament decided that 2.4 billion was going to be enough to cover all the black people of South Africa, because that's the only amount that we have received so far. So usually when you, the honorable members request us to come and you have to plan forward, there's no capital. How do you plan forward in a vacuum? Because we're supposed to be, we call it recap, but in fact it's capitalization. We have never been properly capitalized. We know that some of the questions that are going to come from the honorable members will be, what are you doing in my province? What are you doing in my constituency? So I do want you to keep it in mind as we will be proceeding that the only amount that we've been given, that we're supposed to dice it into small, small, small pieces for all the black people, is 2.4 billion. Honorable members, from operational inception in 2005 to date, the NEF has approved 927 transactions that are worth more than 9.3 billion for black empowered businesses across the country. Over 6.3 billion of this capital has gone directly into the South African economy. As the Select Committee is aware, for 12 years running, the NEF has secured in external audit opinions, which attest to the organization's integrity and financial management acumen. In this regard, the standards that we set for ourselves are the same that we hold our investors to. So if we fund in those companies, if we provide funding to those companies and they decide to run away with our money, we will pursue them, and that's what our legal department has been doing. So to date, through its funding milestone, the NEF has supported in excess of 95,798 jobs countrywide. So imagine if you had given us the full allocation that you had approved 10 years ago, we would have multiplied this by 5. So with new jobs totaling over 65,359. Without doubt, the NEF recapitalization will deepen and enhance the important national priority through increased support and funding of more and more black entrepreneurs. The multiplier effect of these jobs amounts to well over 850,000 beneficiaries nationwide, and this can only grow year on year. Recapitalization also, honorable members, will help propel the full commercialization of all the 26 strategic and industrial projects that we have developed in partnership with local and international partners. These are valued at 29 billion rand, with the potential to support a further 85,000 jobs. The Asonge Share Scheme remains one of the most seminal public share offers in our country, having brought over 12 million MTN shares into the hands of 87,000 black investors, about half of whom are women. So with the Honorable Chairperson, you'll remember that we had that Assomi first game, so we took our shareholding in MTN shares, and then we sold it to the general public. We just sold 1%, and we were able to raise about 1.6 billion. So here we are saying, Chairperson, that if we really wanted to create hope for our people, because if you look at the beneficiaries, those are the people who went out, took their last 2,000, 5,000 rands, 10,000 rands through stock sales. We saw a lot of stock sales that participated. So that capital actually increased by 100%. So if you had invested 10,000, 3 years later, in fact 2 years later, you had about 20,000 in your bank account. So people throughout the country, those were like your miners, nurses, teachers, whenever they see us, they say, when are you bringing another share offer, to the market? So here our plea to Parliament is to say to government that where there are government assets that are being disposed of, that government should actually think of, especially the listed, with their listed portfolios, just take 1 or 2%, and we can do it. We have the capacity to do that, but government must actually allocate those assets to the NEF as per the initial, thinking around the establishment of the NEF. Because if you go to the Act, this is what the NEF was supposed to do, but we never got the assets that had been, designated for our benefit. So our investor education campaign has reached over 40,000 black South Africans in the villages and townships through 180 seminars that we do countrywide. To date, the NES Entrepreneurship and Training and Incubation Program has provided business skills to 2,900 participants who have attended 164 seminars countrywide from 2012 to date. So here, this is where we'll educate people, about the various investment opportunities. We'll tell them how to, open your own petroleum station. What are these things that, I'm just using the petroleum station as an example. What are these things that you have to look into? How do you approach the various, petroleum station? How do you register your name in their database and so on and so forth? But also we educate them about just the business planning processes and the various investment opportunities that we are seeing from our side. Our regional office network continues to shoulder the very high demand for funding among black entrepreneurs. In excess of 56% of the number of approved transactions were originated from the regional offices as at end February this year. In addition, because our mentorship program is making a positive difference in stabilizing our investees, over 2.8 billion has been collected in repayments, and this has been reinvested into the NEF funding mandate. So it's money, 2.8, that has gone back into the economy. The 2.4 was fully invested by 2009, so we're just now, rolling it over into the economy. Since inception, the Rural and Community Development Fund has invested over 238 million rands in 6 rural and township shopping centers. The 238 million leveraged an additional 662 million co-investment by the private sector, resulting with a total of 9,859 jobs that were created. So in the rural and community development initiatives that we've been looking at, if the NEF invests the first 10 million, we'll go to the commercial banks and ask them to actually top our 10 million up. So this is how we have now leveraged the 662 million that came from other DFIs and mostly from the commercial banks. slide 11. The achievements of the NEF have been made possible by the fact that the organization is an academy of excellence. So our plea to the committee is also to say that we know that there are positive developments now that we're seeing. We shouldn't close the NEF down. If you look at, you know, the impressive, or we believe we have an impressive record with a group of very highly qualified individuals who are actually being posted on a daily basis by the commercial banks and the other DFIs. So, honorable members, just to inform you that we actually have 17 CAs, and together those are chartered accountants, and together they command over 134 years of experience. So you'll hear that it's difficult to get black CAs, but we've been very lucky to actually attract this caliber of CAs. I actually have three with me, young CA, my favorite CA, and Kling, you were here. So from a complement of 161 people, that staff members that we have, 11 of our staff members hold master's degrees. The NES employs 4 engineers together with over 60 years experience. 20 of our employees hold honors degrees and 46 hold bachelor's degrees. The NES employs 9 admitted attorneys. And as a learning organization, we are committed to driving the advancement of support and entry-level staff. And over the years, many have acquired their matriculation and have acquired a range of additional qualifications. As an organization with a future, the average age of the NEF is 38 years. So we're just giving you the highlight, honorable members, so that as we'll be taking you through our report card, you will actually now understand who are the people who've been, you know, doing this this work for the NEF. So the only challenge, as I said earlier, honorable members, that we have had over the years has been the aggressive poaching by organizations with deeper pockets, and indeed the challenges in respect of recapitalization. So you can't keep on promising these highly, you know, sought after individuals. You can't keep on telling them that next day you'll be recapitalized, then next day comes no recapitalization. They want to go out there and empower our people. They are actually hungry, they want to work. But this thing of stop, start, there's money, there's no money, there's money, there's no money, you know, has been a serious challenge for us. So chairperson and members of the committee, evident from the graph is that cash collected has continued to grow year on year from businesses funded across all sectors of the economy. Indeed, our mentorship interventions have been very effective in helping to stabilize the operations and maturity of our investees, thus improving their ability to make good on their loans. Since inception, over 2.8 billion rand has been collected cumulatively from loans disbursed across the country. So, Chair, Honourable Chair, the NES actual cash is at 31st March stands at 1.1 billion rand. But out of the 1.1 billion rand, we only have 94 million, which is uncommitted cash, because the other 900 million is already committed. So those will be the investments that either at due diligence level or transactions that have been approved. So it means we'll be busy with the legal stage of actually discussing those particular transactions. So what it says is that we can't accept new transactions that are coming in because we have to actually deal with the ones that we currently have. So to manage the 2017-2018 strategy that we'll be presenting today, approval targets were reduced following representations to the DTI, and to discharge the 2018-2019 strategy, the NEF needs at least 680 million, which will be required as new cash injection. So that's why we're trying to explain, because people will say, but you have 1.1 billion rands in your bank account, you know, so why are you, you know, complaining? So that's money that is already committed. So central to the implementation of the mandate of the NEF is the consciousness to conduct our work with integrity, diligence, and foresight. And in this regard, the NEF investment governance framework is guided by the delegation of authority of the various committees. So we just wanted to take the committee through the whole investment process and the governance structures that we have in place, especially because of the reports that we are seeing, you know, and questions that are being raised about different DFIs. So we just thought we will take you through our corporate governance process. So the first leg there is what is called the deal origination. So here the NES investment funds and marketing teams will engage in various market awareness initiatives and campaigns aimed at creating deal flow across the target market. So it moves from deal origination to screening. So here the pre-investment team will provide a letter of acknowledgement, which also incorporates a unique reference number to the person who is actually presenting their application to the NEF. So the team then performs the initial desktop analysis primarily to ensure that applications are forwarded to the relevant NEF fund and that the investment teams are presented with complete applications which also meet the NEF funding criteria. Then it goes to product advisory. The NEF offers product advisory services throughout all the offices, and this may occur telephonically, electronically, via email, and through face-to-face consultations that I was referring to earlier on. Then it goes to the due diligence phase. So here, due diligence, honorable members, refers to a process which is embarked upon by NEF investment professionals, whereby they visit a prospective investee and undertake a due diligence investigation into various aspects of a business, including financial, legal, and commercial aspects. So during this process, the business case is assessed and the merits and demerits thereof are determined. So for instance, it would be issues like you want to buy machinery because you are starting a clothing, you know, textiles and clothing company. So what our investment professionals will do, they will actually go and assess the type of machinery that you want to acquire, you know, is it in good condition, you know, is it going to be, how many of those machines are you going to be buying, where are you sourcing the machines from, and. So that's what the due diligence process does for us. So deals, honorable members, are also different in nature. So, for instance, the Rural and Community Development Fund transactions will require an in-depth analysis, which includes looking at the community and determining the needs thereof in consultation with the traditional authorities, and also with local government leaders and the community itself. So the community is also required to appoint representatives to structures within that particular investment. And then it goes to the final investment paper. So on completion of the due diligence process, the team will look into the transaction and the results of the DD and prepare a proposal to the finance investment committee to approve the transaction. So the fund management investment committee will critique and appraise the proposal and can either refer the transaction back to, for certain aspects to be to be re-looked and renegotiated. For example, if the committee believes a deal is overpriced, which is what we have actually seen with our acquisition finance transaction, so where black people will be acquiring a stake in an established white company. So you can either acquire a stake or maybe you want to buy 100% of that business. So we've seen how a lot of those businesses are overpriced. So during this due diligence process, our investment professionals will actually come back and say, we like the business, you know, we believe in its commercial viability, but if we look at the numbers, the business is overpriced. So it has been a challenge with us, honorable members, because if you have a black entrepreneur, they've been promised, you know, this business, so they would actually want to acquire it even when it's so, but we have always, you know, discouraged them from proceeding with those particular businesses. So a lot of those, especially family-owned businesses, when they do BEE, so sometimes they actually do it as a money-making scheme because they know that they will sell 100%, they bank their money in their bank account, and then they will disappear. So then it goes to the approval stage. This is the Fund Management Investment Committee that will consider an approved transaction of up to $5 million by value. So the committee here is made up of all the fund managers, legal manager, post-investment manager, risk manager, and finance manager. Then the transaction will go to EPSCO-IC. This is the Executive Investment Committee, which considers and approves transactions from $5 million to $15 million by value, and this particular committee is chaired by the CEO. Then it goes to the BIC, which is the Board Investment Committee, which considers and approves transactions from $15 million to $50 million by value. And for any transaction that is above $50 million, that one will actually go to a full board. Then it goes to the legal stage, which is the drafting of legal agreements. So a team here of legal professionals who are all admitted attorneys of the High Court draft the legal agreements, including loan and security agreements, in-house. The legal department has actually standardized the legal templates for our transactions. So I've spoken about the post-investment work that we're doing. We also conduct regular site visits. So a site visit here, honorable members, refers to an interaction between our post-investment employees that will undertake with the investee company. So the visits can be a regular meeting, a board meeting, or an ad hoc meeting where we physically visit our investee companies. Obviously, you must look at their operations, you must look at their financials, they have to open their books. So everything that has to do with their business, you will actually look at that on a monthly basis. They have to submit, but sometimes you'll be required to go and visit them on a regular basis. Then we have the mentorship program, honorable members. So when the post-investment unit was established, one of the key drivers to its strategy was the formation of a panel of competent mentors that the unit would utilize in its formal monitoring process. So here we look at all, sometimes it's retired executives who are coming in with a lot of deep understanding of the businesses they would be responsible for. It can be retired, engineers. And by the way, we also use, both white and black mentors to actually help us with the companies that we have invested in. And then I had already mentioned, honorable members, that for our distressed investments that we would actually transfer them to our turnaround workout in restructuring units. Chairperson and honorable members, this slide demonstrates the high levels of activity at the NEF. In the current financial year, over 1,400 black businesses across the NEF to seek funding of over $10.6 billion to fund their startup expansion and acquisition of businesses. This is double the volume of transactions the NEF had to assess in the prior year. Although over 50% of the value was declined at the screening stage, transactions worth about $5 billion went further in the approval processes, and in most instances, the NEF had to refer these entrepreneurs to the commercial banks due to the limited, both commercial and other DFIs, due to the limited capital available for investment. This slide shows that black entrepreneurs are eager to play an active role in the economy, and with adequate resources, the NEF can make a huge difference, because we would have really wanted to assist some of those entrepreneurs, but we're not able to due to our financial constraints. So in other instances, so where, for instance, we will see that a transaction is in the manufacturing space, so that one is much easier for us because we have a working relationship with the IDC, so it's much easier for us to refer those to the IDC. But the IDC only does, you know, industrial projects. So if a company was looking at something like they want to acquire trucks because they got a contract with Eskom to move coal from Optimum Mine to Medupi or Husile, you can't really refer those to the IDC. So for us, that is a real gap that we are seeing in the market. So upon approval of a transaction, honorable members, the NEF does not disburse the entire amount and will do so only upon the fulfillment of agreed milestones. So if you have applied for a 20 million rand loan, you will not get the full 20 million rand on day one. We will do it in tranches upon fulfillment of those particular milestones. So this then explains how part of the NEF cash at hand has already been committed and will continue to be disbursed into the economy as entrepreneurs gradually take their businesses to the next level. The funds that are awaiting disbursements manifest across the various sectors of the economy, with manufacturing comprising the lion's share, if you look at that slide. Chairperson and committee members, the NEF has invested in 60 fuel stations worth over 276 million rand. And we want to take this number to 100 fuel stations, because petroleum stations, because of the partnership that we already have with BP, Total, Engine, and Caltex. So these service stations are across the country and have supported over 1,600 jobs. These service stations continue to deliver solid performance with a very low risk exposure. Collections rates are at 90% with low impairment rate of 6%. 61% of money disbursed has already been collected. So success factors that we have observed in this portfolio are mainly due to the fact that there is a risk-sharing model with the oil companies that I was referring to. There is a very aggressive valuation of acquired sites at 3x EBITDA. And then the enterprise development funds from BP, for instance, have reduced the weighted average of the cost of capital. So would like the honorable members, when they interact with the petroleum industry, you know, to actually express our gratitude on behalf of these black investors. We said we are sitting at 60, but this way we are actually seeing a lot of growth for our very small black-owned entrepreneurs, because they are supporting both the entrepreneur and they are supporting the National Empowerment Fund. Even with funding, they will actually provide a little bit of equity financing in those into those particular transactions. In the property sector, honourable members, the NEF has approved and committed 18 transactions as at 31st March 2018. Seven of these were retail properties, while six were tourism properties, three were in the construction of affordable housing, and one in student accommodation. Honourable members, we are seeing a lot of interest from our black entrepreneurs to invest in the student accommodation space because that has also proved to be very lucrative investments for them because there you can be assured of always getting the students who will occupy the rooms. If you have 100 rooms, you know there's a guarantee that you'll actually get people who will stay in the rooms. So the majority of these transactions in the property space has been dispersed with the exception of two, which are still at the city collection stage. Two property investments have been successfully exited, so we invested in the Umlazi Mega City and Mavundla Square. These were two highly successful shopping malls with community shareholding. The community was involved and they have repaid us and we have now exited those two transactions successfully. So the other shopping mall is at Kumbu. We have one at Kumbu in the Eastern Cape. We have one in Orange Farm. We have, those are the ones that I can remember from the top of my head. Willow Bay. So very exciting investments because we get our money back from these particular investments. And what is exciting also is the involvement of the communities, you know, in the investment. The average number of jobs supported by the investment in the sector is 6,915 during construction, while 5,536 are permanent jobs. Members of the committee, evident in the table on the slide, is that the NEF has approved more than 536 million in this sector, and a total of 501 million of this has been dispersed. The collection rate in this portfolio is at 57%. Slide 22. Among some of the interventions and key success factors that have been identified in the construction sector are the appointment of a technical mentor, such as the quantity surveyor and project managers, the NEF setting up a joint and communist bank account, setting of contract proceeds, the client should have a strong debtors collection process, where possible co-release payments for acquisition of material and other project-related payments. So among the recommendations are that the investors should procure the correct pricing systems such as the construction computer software that could assist with accurate pricing. Slide 23, evident from the chart is that the cumulative approved value since inception to 31st March is 9.3 billion with committed facility at 7.3 billion, while the dispersed amount is 6.2 billion. I think I've already touched on this, but I just wanted to show you the trend. Slide 24 and 26. So, Chairperson and honourable members, this slide demonstrates that the NEF has over the years made investments that have generated positive returns. So we're just showing the financial performance there. Slide 27. Members of the committee, the NEF has made concerted strides to improve its portfolio collection through various investment support of its investees. These include focused mentorship and proactive turnaround workouts and restructuring interventions. The 2017 ratio of 17.55% is therefore fairly in line with the average 17% on the IDC book. So we're just comparing our impairment ratio with other DFIs. So sometimes, honorable members, we always try to punch above our weight because most of the people we are comparing ourselves with, you know, they do big transactions to well-established, you know, companies. With us, you do your very small transactions, and oftentimes our people were never really exposed to some of the sectors that they are investing in, but were encouraged by what we are seeing in that our impairment ratio is very much in line with our sister, with other sister organizations. Slide 28. Honorable Chairperson, as a National Development Finance Institution, the NEF is committed to ensuring that its products and services reach the entire nation throughout the 9 provinces. Since the launch of the NEF Asonga Share Scheme, the NEF has implemented various measures and interventions to strive towards an even, representative, and equitable distribution of its services across the country. As a result, the NEF's invested presence in Gauteng has come down from above 60% of total disbursed funds in 2006 to 44% by March 2018. This is not as a result of a reduction of funding in Gauteng, but is a result, is a direct consequence of planned, targeted, and increased funding in the other 8 provinces, because we believe they are also integral to South Africa's economy. But if people are not exposed to the work that the NEF is doing, obviously you will not get, you know, the sufficient number of applications. But we have also seen, honourable members, that there are, you know, active provincial governments who would actually go out of their way to try and work with the NEF. So they will identify the opportunities, and then they will say NEF can support these particular enterprises. So that also helps. So, Chairperson, evident from this table is that the NEF has engaged in an array of efforts aimed at increasing reach and meaningful impact in the provinces. The delivered campaign includes, among others, local community stakeholder workshops, investor education, which has been able to reach 40,000 participants in villages, townships, and cities. These campaigns are supported by targeted media and advertising, with placements in the regional and national media, which included community radio stations. The NEF has further continued to deliver incubation and entrepreneurial training, providing business skills training to over 2,900 potential entrepreneurs who attended 164 seminars. And here, honorable members, we're just saying during the period under review, the NEF, in partnership with the provinces, successfully hosted regional empowerment expos. Through these, we're able to reach 1,746 attendees who comprise current and potential entrepreneurs. The objective for these were to spread awareness of the mandate, products, services, and milestones of the NEF to maximize the NEF's invested presence across all the provinces. Slide 33, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, once again we wish to share our lament regarding Mabele Fuels. The committee will recall that in the Free State province, the NEF is a key financier in a project titled Mabele Fuels, which is South Africa's first ever success story in the renewable energy space. The company intends to develop around 154 million liters per annum of fuel-grade bioethanol. The plant is to be located in Bothaville and will use grain sorghum as the as the feedstock. So the project stands to create a total of 16,700 jobs with 636 direct jobs during construction, 90 permanent jobs post-project completion, and with a further downstream jobs in agriculture. And honorable members are aware that the South African government is putting a lot of focus and emphasis on agriculture and agro-processing, because we have realized that is the most cost-effective way of investing. If you look at the cost per job in the agriculture and agro-processing space, is actually the lowest in the country. So we'd like the committee members to actually assist us, you know, in driving this project forward, which has the potential of creating 16,700 jobs. So this project will result in a fifth capital investment of up to, so the 50 million was invested by the NEF, but we're co-financing the transaction with other funders. The total investment is? But what is the total value? The total value is 2.1 billion. So, and we had raised the funding from other private equity funders in the commercial banks in South Africa. So what we did here, Honorable Chairperson, we have already presented this project to the new Minister of Energy, because we've been told that the holdback is from the government side. They have not finalized the regulations. So there was an announcement that was made. So these, investors saw an opportunity, because the government had already made a commitment that was 5 years ago. So we started working on the biofuels industry with the understanding that the regulation would be, processed and finalized, and then everything has stalled. And what is said is that it's both ourselves and the private sector guys that had already invested money into this sector. So what it does, honorable members, is that when you make an announcement, you start a new sector and then you stop, it creates a lot of uncertainty in the industry, because the private sector will be excited, they want to invest. We always say there is a private sector investment strike in South Africa, but with most of our projects, we've been, involved in syndicated financing with them. So I'm just saying it sends a very wrong, signal if we do that. So, Chairperson and members, and honorable members, one of the challenges the NEF has encountered in provinces is that of alignment of policy direction. So on slide 34, the NEF invested almost 100 million in construction and construction-related entities in the Eastern Cape. Unfortunately, due to late payment from the provincial government in Eastern Cape, the NEF has had to impair over 90% of these investments. So we have actually met with the Eastern Cape government, because we would invest with the under. So these companies will come and they say, okay, this is the contract I got from, the Department of Housing. I'm just using it as an example. It happens with all the other provinces as well. So you actually fund on the back of that particular contract. So you are looking at the contract and you are saying this is our collateral, because they already have the contract. You invest, they start doing the work, and the government decides not to pay them. When that happens, you are then obliged to actually impair the investment. So we have engaged with the representatives of the Eastern Cape government. At the top, there's a lot of willingness, but what happens with the procurement officers is actually something else, because they will just decide not to pay those investments, and those companies would collapse. Then this takes me to the now the strategic planning framework, but I was just giving you some of the strategic thinking that goes into our planning processes. So as we have already mentioned, honorable members, that we implement, the NEF implements the Code of Good Practice of Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment as outlined in the Act. In this regard, we use a sector-targeted approach in developing our portfolio of investments, and the sectors that we focus on are the renewable energy, tourism, minerals, beneficiation, agro-processing, business process outsourcing, and infrastructural projects. So all we're saying with this slide is that our strategic planning process is aligned with the government's macroeconomic objectives. Can we move to the next slide? These are the key strategic objectives of the NEF, which are self-explanatory. Chair, we'll be repeating ourselves, this is just to refresh your memories. Slide 41, honorable members, the next series of slides will specifically focus on the 2018-19 strategic plan, as well as on the 2019-20 and the 2020-21 periods. And the following key pillars will anchor this plan. It's advancing broad-based BEE, maximizing the empowerment dividend, increasing the woman-funded portfolio, promoting a culture of savings and investment, creating black industrialists, and maintaining the financial efficiency and sustainability. We also wish to emphasize, Chairperson, that we'll continue to focus on other key imperatives such as growing investments across all provinces, to ensure that we entrench the benefits of NEF support across the country. We'll continue providing ongoing business planning and mentorship support, corporate governance training, as well as incubation support. In slide 43 and 44, in keeping with this mandate, the NEF will continue to finance business ventures established and managed by black people, and because our systems and processes are robust and have reached maturity, our approval of commitments and disbursements will also continue to increase year on year. That is if we are able to get the recap that I was talking about. As previously reported to this committee, the NEF was compelled in 2013 to declare a moratorium in order to preserve available resources because of unrealized recapitalization. Since then, and after having lost valuable human capital during the period of the moratorium, we have spent no energy in rebuilding that particular momentum. Slide 45. With your indulgence, Chairman and Honorable Members, please permit us the privilege to share a brief video as a testimony of the transactions that the NEF approved last year. This is the FASCO, but we have only done the first tranche in terms of... We've just dispersed the first tranche and we'll be doing the second tranche in the coming months. So this is the FASCO Gorge Lift Company, a tourism wonder along the panorama tourist route in Mpumalanga. We talk about projects, but this will demonstrate what we've been doing in that region.
Inception 2005, the National Empowerment Fund has approved 9.3 billion rand for black entrepreneurs across the country. One of these is the Graskop Gorge Lift Company, a majority black-owned enterprise that has received 33.4 billion rand funding from the NEF for the purpose of driving tourism development in the panorama tourist route in Mpumalanga province. The company is behind the construction of an outdoor lift attraction into the Graskop Gorge Retail Center, which opened in December 2017. The outdoor lift system ferries people up and down the cliff face into the forest environment below, where about 500 meters elevated walkways and ground walkways allow visitors to explore the spectacular sights of the area. This experience is enhanced with various information boards and other value-added activities such as guided tours. Supporting the outdoor lift system is a newly constructed tourism center that provides numerous tourism products and services, including a restaurant, a bar, retail outlet, children's play area, and center management offices that support the entire development. In the medium term, the project will be constructing a 36-bed hotel in the gorge, estimated at 100 million rand. The project has created and maintained around 170 jobs. At the heart of the establishment is a market for women entrepreneurs who make and sell a variety of crafts and artifacts, and who have begun to make booming trade from the upgraded facilities. Also occupying pride of place in the retail center is an art gallery that offers a range of paintings, sculptures, and many other intriguing masterpieces. The NEF, taking BEE to new landscapes beyond the vista.
It should have been your final slide.
Thank you, honorable members. So that is the heart of God's gift. It is my privilege this morning to extend an invitation to the Honorable Chairman and the Honorable Members of the Committee to join us for the official launch of the Heart of God Gift to be held 2 months from now on Friday, 24 August 2018. The formal invitation will follow. We have also invited the Minister of Trade and Industry and the Minister of Tourism. And then on the next slide, one of our proudest investments also, honorable members, is in a company owned by specialist black doctors who approached the NEF some 8 years ago for funding to commercialize 4 government-issued hospital licenses. With your permission, again, Chairman, I have a 2-minute video that will show you the hospital.
As one of the world's fastest growing healthcare contributes over 10% to gross domestic product in most developed nations. In South Africa, the private healthcare sector has also experienced phenomenal growth over the past few years, yet the sector has remained largely untransformed. That is why 8 years ago, the National Empowerment Fund became the first external investment booster, a catalyst in pathfinder healthcare, which has been identified as one of the priority health sectors by the Industrial Policy Action Plan. From any stage of financial study, the NEF net investment of 230 million rand in Bhutan was for the purpose of commercializing 4 hospital licenses and to support black investors in a key targeted growth sector. Today, the group is worth 2.6 billion rand, having subsequently attracted investors such as the Profit Investment Corporation, Standard Bank, the Airport Company of South Africa, among others. When Bhutamed operates optimally at 1,000 beds in all 4 hospitals, 3,000 direct jobs will be created. Bhutamed ranks supremely as one of the stars in the NEF funded portfolio. The company is well on its way to achieving its vision of turning the healthcare market.
Thank you. Honorable members, for your indulgence, those hospitals, the first one we opened here at the Strand, here in Cape Town, and then we have 2 in KZN, and then we opened Modderfontein 2 years ago in Johannesburg, and we opened the Free State this year. Yes.
Which area?
Okay. And then, honorable members, the next slides are just talking about those objectives that I was making reference to. So the way we do our strategic planning is to say, with, you know, the objective of advancing BEE, how much are you going to invest, maximization of the empowerment dividends, how will you increase the women-funded portfolio, the creation of black industrialists. So it gives numbers. You put numbers to those particular objectives, but you'll be repeating the same strategic objectives that I have already spoken to. So I don't think, honorable members, but the information is here. It's necessary for us to go through each and every one of them. But if you want me to do that, I would be happy to.
We also want to appreciate that you've given it to us before today's meeting.
Okay.
So we're not seeing it for the first time.
Okay, thank you very much. And then I just wanted to move to Project Kopane, which is the incorporation of the NEF into the IDC, and then I'll ask my colleague here, Ms. Makatini, to take you through slide 54, 55, and slide 56.
Can we agree that I give you 10 more minutes?
Yes, we're almost done. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. So, as the Select Committee is aware, since July 2014, the NEF has been in discussion with the IDC in a process supported by both the DTI and the Economic Development Department. So, the NEF had approached the Minister of Finance requesting funding, and the Minister of Finance then recommended that the IDC provide funding to the NEF and that we should explore an opportunity of actually incorporating the NEF into the IDC. The objective was to find a sustainable and long-term recap solution for the NEF, with the process having assessed a number of possible scenarios, ultimately resulting in the consensus for the NEF to become an arm's-length subsidiary of the IDC. And on the 14th of Feb in 2017, both Minister Rob Davis and Minister Ibrahim Patel signed the memorandum of incorporation for incorporating the NEF as the IDC subsidiary. Since then, the two DFIs have prepared a transitional arrangement document which regulates or governs the relationship of the two parties during the implementation phase, and this was submitted to both the ministers for approval. The two DFIs also established two structures to oversee the process, and these were the Chairpersons and CEOs Forum, as well as the Executive Forum. The Executive Forum has established work streams to consider strategy and mandate of the DFIs and CIFA to make sure that synergies are identified and overlaps are also dealt with. The Finance and Accounting Matters work stream is also active to make sure that, because the NEF is currently a Schedule 3 entity, we report according to GRAP, and if we're to become a subsidiary of the IDC, we have to change to IFRS. And also the legislative and governance work stream, because the NEF is a critical statute, so you can't just change the NEF Act. You have to go through proper legal processes, so we need to understand what are the legal parameters, what happens to the Act. So we have a work stream that is focusing on that. In 2017, the board of the IDC then approved a facility of 500 million rand to bridge the NEF during the period of the implementation to make sure that the NEF continues with its work. This came with a set of conditions precedents, which is normal for funding arrangements, for the payments to be made to the NEF. However, some of these conditions precedents were beyond the control of the NEF, and as a result, the NEF has not been able to access the facility that the IDC made available. The CEO did say earlier on that with working with the DTI, that the NEF had to revise its targets because we did not have enough funds to actually respond to the need that we have. So the CPs that were beyond the NEF's control were the requirement for the NEF to pledge its MTN shares to the IDC. Because we are a government entity and the NEF is a trust, we can't give the assets of the trust as security without the approval of the Minister and of National Treasury. The second one, the IDC had requested that Cabinet gives an in-principle approval for the combination or for the incorporation of the NEF into the IDC, and we believe that that process is ongoing because we rely on both the DTI and EDD to run the Cabinet approval processes. And thirdly, because the NEF is a section, is a Schedule 3A entity, we cannot borrow funds without the approval of the Minister of Finance. So the NEF has applied to National Treasury to get limited borrowing powers, you know, which would be specific to us borrowing to from certain entities.
Thank you, Honorable Members. So the rest is just the technicalities of you know, incorporating, of what is involved when you incorporate an entity into another, and a lot of other accounting standards. And then I will finish my presentation, Honorable Members, with the last short video, and then we'll be ready to take the questions. Thank you very much.
The bus industry in South Africa has for many years made a vital contribution to the economic and social development of the country, providing mobility to millions of people who depend daily on public transport. In line with its mandate of growing black economic participation in South Africa, in October 2015, the National Empowerment Fund, supported Africa People Movers, or APM, have been approved for a 5 million rand to fund APM's expansion plans. The chief executive of APM, Mr. Dumisan Khawisi, is former CEO of Autopack, the passenger bus division of Prasa. He brings considerable industry and executive experience, having also headed Prasa Trust, the real estate arm of Prasa.
We first approached the NEF when we started the business in 2014. Like any other aspirant entrepreneur, you always face this challenge that you've got a brilliant and bright idea, but you don't have the necessary funding or the great funding. And what was most heartening to us was that for my initial interaction with the NEF, there was never any negativity regarding our business plan. In fact, I always tell people that we're very fortunate that there were more. Many of things have been more excited at the time about our business, and the funders were excited about the business. So we initially approached any year for the 15 million rand funding, and they came back to us and said that in fact they wanted to do a 45 million. As I say, the rest is history. Before approaching any year, we in fact took our business to all commercial banks in South Africa, notably the Big Four, and the people are generally enthusiastic or polite about our business plan, but like any person with a great idea, I mean, the pushback that you have from the funders is that you are entering into an industry that is highly competitive. You are going to compete with the guys that have been around for over 30 years, and what makes you think that you will make it in this business? So while they wanted to support us, they were not too sure that that's the risk that they wanted to take. So the pushback was always, why don't you start this business, prove the concept, then we'll come back at the later stage to fund you. So we had a whole lot of commercial banks coming after the NEF had funded us. APM employs a total staff complement of 220 people, comprising of about 90 drivers. We have about 42 people in our sales offices, and the balance will be the administration, technical services, and the workplace personnel. APM would have approximately 50 women, which would make up just around 40, just over 40% of the entire staff complement. Then we'll have about 22 youth people under the age of 25. So these are the guys that joined the company about 18 months ago as artisans. So most of them are employed in the workshop as a workshop assistant. undergoing training in our customer service department, and others will be in the quality control.
70% of South African population is dependent on public transport comprising bus, commuter rail and minibus taxis for its mobility needs. Of these, there are about 25,000 buses in the industry, of which about 19,000 are involved in formal public transport activities.
My experience with the NESDAT has been a partner that one can rely on, a trusted partner. They go beyond giving you initial funding for the business. We interact with the post-investment team of NEF on a monthly basis.
The NEF growing black economic participation.
Thank you very much, CEO. Honourable members, there we have it. Let me just, before I throw it open for engagement with Member of the House, say two things. The one is that this matter of the NEF's transition and integration into the IDC and the Economic Development Department, which is coincidentally shared by the Honourable Khai, chairing the select committee, but all of us are sitting on that committee where the EDD is accounting to. So we would want to maybe talk to ourselves a little bit more about what can be done, because I think we are in agreement on the importance of ensuring increased investment and BBBEE, and also ensuring that there is sustainability for new entrepreneurs. That's the first point I want to make. The second point I thought is going to be important to make is just on the projects that you have. Now, you are in the concluding part of the document, helping us with some of the projects that you have funded. We have done oversight as a committee and raised it with the Department of Energy about two projects in the petroleum sector that we were worried about. I don't know if we've given you feedback on that, the one in Pochabelo and the other one in Emalahleni. We've not. Okay, then we'll share that with you. That's the one. So we're excited to see the positive experience that you have had with the multinationals in the petroleum sector. But we are looking at the participation of emerging entrepreneurs into that space. Just the final one will be on the construction industry, where I argue that the construction industry is untransformed. And then you also come and help us to broaden our understanding of what's actually happening in that sector. And we would be particularly interested in knowing how we can get better housing, human shelter for our people. I'm not asking you to respond to these, but just introducing these as what stands out for me as matters that we definitely need to follow up on with you. So in terms of your integration and transition into the IDC, I don't know whether the colleagues from the Department of Trade and Industry would want to add more to that. Not that I'm going to give you a chance immediately, but let's hear how the members engage further on that. I noticed the Honourable, I don't know why Matebula comes up. Mahwebu.
I give up.
The Honourable Mahwebu will be the first one, then we'll have the Honourable, let's take all the hands. We'll have the Honourable Dikhale. Let me say the Honourable Matebula is Eastern Cape, Honourable Honourable Mahwebu. Honourable Mabwebu is Eastern Cape. The Honourable Dihale is Limpopo. Then we'll have the Honourable Faba from Northern Cape. We'll go to the Honourable Hai, who's also the chairperson of the Arctic Committee, and he's from the Eastern Cape. Then we'll have the Honourable Mtetwa, who's from Cape. Let's have you in that sequence, and then we'll have the Honourable Mtebe from Northwest, the Copper Province, coming in last. You know the procedure, CEO, that you take the questions and then respond to all of them. Honourable Mahwebu, please.
Then you check this in. Mahwebu, not Mahwebu. Not going to change, Chair. Thank you, CEO, for the presentation and your team, the NAF team. Just a few things, Chair. The issue I want to raise, the first one would be the value of your loans. I don't know if I'm putting it right, but I'll explain what I mean by that. For instance, you're saying you have funded 60 fuel stations across the country. And my experience has always been that you've got this guy who's funded to run this fuel station. He's got some experience in business running. He's got business acumen. He's got a big home owners. He's run the Trisanyama bottle store. Then he comes to you as ready for a bigger venture, which is good. He gets into the petroleum, he runs this fuel station. But when he takes that fuel station, there's been black folks who've been there, who've been petrol attendants, who've been spending their lives, they've worked there for 30 years. And I would want to understand your funding model, because to me and in my view will be, what do you do with those petrol attendants? Why they can't be given shares? It becomes your loan value to say, when you buy this fueling station, you would have 20 people or 30 petrol attendants who've been working there for 30 years, then they'll get a share to that. That would be your loan value. To me, that's innovative, and it helps to broaden the black empowerment, because unfortunately, the black empowerment is skewed. It benefits those who've got skills and who've got knowledge and qualifications. The ordinary man who's illiterate, still black, but he doesn't really benefit. He remains an employee. So there have to be innovative ways of doing things. And I would want you to comment to that in this scenario I've given you. What happened to those people? Same applies in the retail sector. Our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, they worked there for 30 years building this spa. Then once black folk buy that spa, then it brings aunts and cousins. And so in the spirit of black empowerment, we should broaden that and say, this is our value loan to you. You would have to take those as a going concern, take those people and give them a share. Don't just take them as an employee. Give them a share into that business. You are broadening the participation in the black economic empowerment. Unlike it is done now, it only helps those who are fortunate like us in this room. But those who are not having skills, still
there. Well, where you're going to get into trouble. You're saying you got money from us anyhow. You're not allowed.
The second one would be the issue of, we represent provinces. I was curious to know. In fact, I would want to suggest that there's a problem when you are handling such a big public fund like billions that you have in NAF. Maybe transparency becomes key. In that, people need to know where is this money going, which provinces are benefiting. That information should be in your readily available in your website. I've looked at your website, it's a fantastic one. But here's my problem, or here's my question rather. 1,473 black entrepreneurs, 50% was declined, 5 billion was approved. Then I would want a breakdown of that check for you to say, look, this money, who are those people, in which provinces, so that I could see that provinces are benefiting. I understand their dynamics because people apply and they're not invited. They have to apply. But we want to see so that we could take this NEF to our provinces where we feel that, there hasn't been, maybe there are challenges of knowing the existence of this entity and where there should be people have problems in accessing this entity. So we want the spread of the fiscus, or rather the money that you are dispensing in, which provinces are benefiting. That's the second one.
Now the last one, Chair, would be the turnaround time on applications. I would want to hear the CEO tell us if one were to apply today, how long does it take the process to get to finally to say approved or declined? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Let me join my colleague, the Honorable Matulabu, in appreciating the presentation from our CEO, Mem Teto. If I was to allocate marks for all the presenters, you are going to be in one of my good books. Yeah, you really prepare yourself always when you come to this committee. We really appreciate. Mama, you know, I will always complain about our provinces. We've been dancing when we were doing the presentation, but none of them is in Limpopo province. I really want to say, don't forget our province. With this project of Krasco, where you did the hospitals and all those, the project in Krasco and the project where you assisted in hospitals, I want to know, how do you get your money back? Do you put them for free, give them for free, or in the long run, are they going to bring the money back so that you take one of the projects in Limpopo or Eastern Cape or the provinces that you did not touch, or you just give and leave? If you just give them as a donation, I would suggest that you in the long run ask them to give you something back so that you assist other provinces. I really want to congratulate you on the clean external opinion that you get. It looks like you are really focused in helping the needy. Page 5, where you're talking about the funding across the economic spectrum for the women empowerment. Your minimum achievement is 40%. My question is, why not 95%? Page 9, where you talking about 3.4 billion, which is approved for the empowerment of Black women. Even on this one, I was going to request that if you can get a breakdown according to the provinces. And also with regard to people with disability, especially on page 11, where you're talking about the human capital, we don't see as to who benefits. Just, I don't know how I can put it, but we don't see where you refer to the youth, people with disability, and the women. If we can get a breakdown on that one. My last comment and question. I really want to comment you, Mama, on the project of Mabele. I know our soil in Limpopo is good with regard to Mabele, but then my question is, how are you going to control the base? Because if you have money and you're going to put them there for the Mabele plant or millet, I know it's good for that. But if you don't have a method as to how you're going to control the beds, you must just know that you're going to run at a loss. We tried it. We're eating millet because it's even good for sugar diabetic and high blood pressure and whatever, besides fuel making. But the problem is you would want to have a 80 kg of that result when you're ready, but you find that you only have 5 kg because of the base. So you need to have the measures on how you're going to control it. Thank you very much,
Edward. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
our chairperson and you very much as CEO for the comprehensive presentation, which is very good and shows that NEF is doing the work. But I'm worried about the 10 billion that never received. And we say that the former president Thabo Mbeki was the one who made his commitment that quickly go through the 2004 State of the Nation address, and it's there that the best financial year it will be 1 billion, and the next 5 years it will be 10 billion. And worry that it never happened. I don't know what role the DTI played in following that up. But I was thinking that we still need to follow it up as well as the committee. I know in the third term of the program, we'll be dealing with the questions to the executive. But I know at some stage we'll also be dealing with questions to the deputy president, to the president, as well as deputy president, because I just come from the programming committee. So I saw the program for the next term, which is the third term of this financial year. I think it's a matter that we still must pursue. Because you mean that 10 billion was just for 5 years. Imagine after that 10 billion could have been more. Because we're talking about more than 10 years now. We're in 2018. That 10 billion was from 2004, I think maybe to 2009, if I'm not mistaken. Then maybe another 5 years could have been doubled. So we could have been far in terms of black economic empowerment if that 10 billion was injected, and even more after that 5 year period. So that's why I say it's a matter that we must still follow up. I just want to check with regard to when a person applies for a loan and the person has ideas and perhaps they get rejected through the investment process, like screening and so forth. How would a person know if his or her ideas are not then stolen? And then he finds, he or she finds that his ideas are being implemented now. What could that person and what record does that person have? But also on the issue of overpricing, there's a matter that I also raised in previous presentation that you made on this issue of overpricing. There's a particular, it's a specific case of a certain Mr. Tini from East London. I think he got involved in this kind of a situation of overpricing in a bricks company in Wilsonia. And what is even worse now with him is that when he could not pay the loan back, I know there was some assistance by NEF, but then there was a long strike in his company that further, affected him. When he was showing us this clip on the bus, and I was thinking that recently there was a bus strike. How has that bus strike affected this new company? And generally, the assistance that you give to people, and then maybe in the sector that they involve in, then there will be strike. And so it is a form of a risk as well. And how do you then assist in those situations, and when a person can make profit because of strikes and also is unable to pay back, what kind of assistance is given to such people? But also on the issue of if a person is to apply, do you assist in and the person identify a site? Do you assist in terms of negotiating with the municipality for such a site? Maybe a person, make an example of a filling station. A person identifies that in a certain site in an area that is busy, I'll put it that way. And would you be able to assist that person
been identified as such in terms of negotiating with the minister. The Mabele Fuel, I'm not sure whether I thought that it was in Free State, is it? Oh, I saw my colleague talking about the paper, so now I got a little bit confused. I wanted to check there, because you say that we want the assistance of Parliament. In what form should we are ready to assist, but we need to be clear what is it that we should be doing. Because also you're talking about the issue of regulation. What would you ask, want us to do in terms of assistance? Otherwise, we are ready to assist in that situation. But we just need to be clear on the issue that we need to assist on. So the last point that on the construction portfolio, particularly in the Eastern Cape, given that I'm also coming from the Eastern Cape, you talk about the 15.1 million impairment as a result of lack of cooperation from government employees in the Eastern Cape. I'm not sure at what stage are you with regard to that, or you have given up, or whether is there something that you're doing, but also if you could perhaps be specific on this one, so that also as people that are coming from the province, we can also follow it up with the MECs responsible, but also the portfolio committee in the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Faber, first, before you, Honorable Tetra.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable
Tetra. Don't fight with the Chairperson.
No, he came in a bit late, Chairperson.
Is that me or Faber?
He was supposed to go before Hai.
This is my enemy.
Chairperson, I don't think we have to discuss this at this stage. The Honourable Member was a bit late for the meeting, but you'll wake up now. Chairperson, that's just on a lighter note, Chairperson. He's actually a good friend of mine.
Okay. It's me, not you.
I understand it's me, Honourable Member.
Okay,
Lee.
No, let the Chairperson decide, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Another victory. Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, yes. I just read in a recent article that there were 500 million secured, according to you, for the Independent Industrial Development Corporation. And then the recapitalization of the NEF will help the commercialization of all the 26 strategic and industrial projects valued at 29 billion. Now, I would like to just get these two together, how that fits into each other. And this commercialization of the 26 strategic industrial projects apparently will support 85,000 jobs. Now, I want to know how you got to these figures of 85,000 jobs, and when will these jobs be created? Now, as you know, CEO, we are not the National Assembly portfolio committees as we sit here. We are the select committees. That means that we represent a province. Now, I am representing the Northern Cape province. And today, I am quite disturbed to sit here to see that on page 82 of your representation, the SPF fund, Strategic Project Fund in the Northern Cape is 0%. Exactly 0%. In actual fact, if you look on the website, on your presentations, actually the Northern Cape does not even exist. There's only 8 provinces. and we are actually the biggest province. Then I see on the NEE funding in the Northern Cape province, it's 2.1%. I've seen through the presentation, there's one business, hardware store, construction, something, and it's 2.1%. Now, it does concern me that all these funds in the biggest province of the country, only 2.1%, and on your other SPF fund, 0% comes to the Northern Cape province. This is totally disturbing to me. You don't even talk about that. I see you've got an office in the Northern Cape. I don't know what the office is doing there. Then it comes to my conclusion that I feel that the NEF, the incorporation into the IEC should have been done long time ago.
to me. This entity should not even be in existence. It has no existence, right? It's costing people money, because I believe that we can actually create more jobs with the money that's been created out of that, and that the IDC should run this NEF. It should actually just like absorb it and go on under the IDC. The other problem that I have, Chairperson, is at this stage it's running under the IDC as well as the NEF. It's running under two different ministries. And if you look at it, both of these have the responsibility by promoting black economic empowerment. Why does this amalgamation, why didn't it take place yet? Why is this been taking so many years to get to where we are today with two entities costing money instead of one entity that actually does a good job? I've got a lot of faith in Minister Patel and what he's been doing. Not that I'm Minister Davis, I believe, is also doing okay job at the moment, but I believe we have to take it over to one entity and get on with it. I think there's too many administrators involved. And then please, if I can get the answer on the Northern Cape, I'm not going out of here, Chairperson, representing my province, not having an answer why that office is not doing its job, or why Northern Cape is not getting the chance as other provinces. Thank you, Chair.
If they don't answer you, you're going to sit here alone, because your first question, Honourable Papa, I don't know. I leave it to you, because it's more a question that I think should go to the IDC. But you are free to answer on that one. Honourable Mteto?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the wonderful presentation that we received this morning from the CEO. Let me start by saying again, the NEF is doing a great job. You know, when you look this slide number 9, and you look there at in that bulletin that says over 95,000 jobs opportunities supported, and also over 9.3 billion is approvals, 6.3 billion of which has been injected into the economy. That is wonderful. Is one of the entities that is doing so well in the entities that we have in this country, and it needs to be supported. But as I'm saying that, I wanted also to say how is your focus in the smaller towns? There are those smaller towns that you use to make to generate an economy in the rural areas during the times of apartheid, and when these bigger malls come, and another towns developed, and those towns have been destroyed, do you have a plan to resuscitate that economy of the smaller towns? Although I'm asking this question, I know very well that the initiative of those development, it must come from the people of that particular area itself. It's not for you to move around and say, let's build this type of a business here without an initiative from the local people. And we can have a vast province, a very big province, but if there's no initiative that is coming up from that province, nothing would happen to that province. And I'm asking that, knowing very well that the circumstances are like that. But you need to have a plan. How do you have a plan to develop a smaller towns that was neglected before? That is my question. The second question is that I have is that when you look the way you are investing throughout the provinces, and you said when somebody is struggling into his business, you came up with a very good business plan, you approved the application, and you started to doing the work, but now the business is struggling. You said you don't just leave that particular person, but you go back and try to get a turnaround strategy to get that person into a fit again to be able to trade. How many of those people that we have assisted? And if we assisted those people, can you able to show that we have this person here because we're able to come up with a turnaround strategy? That's why he still stands and contributing in the economy. We have seen that wonderful video there in Mpumalanga. So, and we appreciate even the invitation. I will be there. Definitely, I will be there. You are doing a great job.
You are not invited.
Yeah. You are doing a great job. But what I'm saying, can we have more of something similar to that throughout the provinces? Because if we can have more, we can able to boost the tourism industry effectively throughout the country. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mteve. You'll be the last one.
Chair, I'm happy that the leadership of the NEF still remember what the discussion in the last presentation that they did to the committee way. That we pleaded with the leadership to understand that we are not the National Assembly Portfolio Committee. And therefore would want the presentation to zoom into issues that we can touch and feel primarily on our province. Let me give you an example. If you go to slide 16, you have 68% of the declines amounting to close to 1,000 of declines at the screening level. How much of these 68% of declines come from different provinces? And which province is the most affected? And why do you have close to 1,000 declines at the screening level and only have 72 approvals? If you go to your first slide, and I want to applaud you, you're talking about your emphasis on due diligence, which is something that must be done. But I'm hoping that the due diligence is being used as a catalyst and a buffer against declines, as opposed to a method of making sure that we push our people for declines. Because due diligence must be done, but it can't be the only reason why our people are being declined. If you go to slide 6, you speak about your responsibility to ensure that there's geographical spread and make sure that there's women empowerment. Now let's go back to slide 621. Your construction portfolio. Why do you only have one company representing the Northern Cape? Why don't you have Northwest? Why do you only have one Eastern Cape? I will tell you why I'm asking this. The NEF as a DFI has a responsibility to move away from our past, how things were done in the past. Now, if we continue to have such a pattern, with an emphasis and more particular emphasis on more urban areas. And I can do an example. Gauteng has something like 6 or 7 there. Eastern Cape, a rural province, has one. Northwest is not there. Free State is not there. You know what we are doing? We continue to relegate the most peripheral part of our country to what we call labor reservoirs. So our people must be in those peripheral areas, and each and every time there must be urban migration, because they must always go back to Gauteng to seek employment. Because we are not investing in areas where they are yet. The whole government that you represent says you must ensure that our people are invested in the areas where they are. Go to Slide 29. Your own presentation says you have reduced Gauteng allocation by 12% from 60% to 44%. And you say that was done between the area of 2006 to 2018. 12%. When we know your own presentation says 75% of our own population stay in rural areas, you still have 44% in an urban area. Your own presentation says the same thing has been allocated, the same set is allocated for 2009 until 2008, which I suppose it's a mistake. If it's 2006, it must stay as such. If it's 2009, it must stay as such. But go to slide 90, Black Industrialist. The reason why I'm raising all this, CEO, is South Africa derives 97%, 65% of our own revenue generation from mineral exports. We want to say, this is what we are saying, Black Industrialist objectives. We want to create an inclusive economy by increasing South African participation. How do we do that when rural provinces are not catered? How do we increase South African export earning potential and reduce import dependency when we still invest more on urban areas when we know that rural provinces like the Northwest, for instance, is more popular and more potentially inclined to agro-processing. I see that you have one company that you are financing there, but we can do more. Why do we still have such a pattern when we have raised it? A biasness towards urban areas as opposed to rural areas. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. CEO and your team, we are under pressure now. Let's agree, if it's okay with you, that I give you 20 minutes to get me all the responses through, so by quarter past. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for a lot of very good questions. So I will share the questions with my colleagues. Senor, you will deal with a question from Honorable Dikhale on Mabele Fuel. You'll take the question on turnaround time from Honorable Makweli. And then how is the bus strike affecting the NEF? And then from Honorable Teta on the restructuring of our portfolio, how many of those transactions have we really turned around? I think the first slide from Karishma, you get it from that slide. Okay, I will start with the questions from Honorable Makwebu or Makwebu, I'm not sure. Makwebu. Makwebu. Makwebu, okay. But he's not here. Okay. So the first question was on the 60 fuel stations that we have supported in partnership with the multinational companies that we have in the petroleum industry in South Africa. So Honorable Magui wanted to know how come we are not, you know, supporting the petrol attendants. Why are they not the ones who are buying these petrol stations, that we need to broaden EE, I mean, employment, equity and BEE, and that we need to find innovative ways of doing business in this sector and other sectors, and that in the retail sector he has also observed a similar pattern, that a spa would be sold to people like ourselves here. What about the people who are working in those shops? So the reality of this matter, Honorable Members, is that the multinational companies will take the applicants through a very rigorous process. You don't just
go to Shell and say, I want to buy your petroleum station. They look at you, they do the entrepreneurial assessment, they want to be convinced that if they were to associate their brand with you as a black entrepreneur, that you'll be able to take their brand to the next level. At that stage when they select the entrepreneur, the NES has no say. We can't force Shell or BP to actually sell their petroleum stations to the petrol attendants. But what has given us comfort is the NES is that we are creating jobs. It's not everybody in this country who's going to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't happen in other countries, and it's not going to happen in South Africa. There will be people who are academic, very intelligent, but they can't own a business. There will be people who will be workers. But for big projects, I think that's where you should actually, as the committee push other big DFIs who are involved in multi-billion rand transactions to say, in this multi-billion rand transaction, can you think about empowering the workers? If somebody is buying a petroleum station that is valued at 20 million rand, he's an entrepreneur. He's putting in his hard-won cash because you don't get it for free of charge. You can then turn around and say, yes, this is worth 20 million. You have invested 2 million of your own money, but give it to us. So, yeah, just saying to black people, just share the crumbs, really. Let's share the big things. If it's a small opportunity, let's not now chase our entrepreneurs away by saying, he has given you 10 million bucks, you will give 40% to the workers, they will run away. So that's our business model, and the business philosophy has really worked for us. So, Honorable Magwebu, just in a nutshell, on the petroleum stations, on why the petrol attendants are also not given the opportunity to own the petroleum stations. So what we are saying is the NEF is that the petroleum, the multinational companies like Shell and BP will take the applicants through a very rigorous selection process. So we see the applicants once they've gone through that particular process. So as the NEF, you can't dictate to them and say, don't give it to this entrepreneur, because the entrepreneur will also be expected to invest a little bit of their own money. So sometimes if it's 20 million, they will invest 1 million of their own equity capital, but they would have gone through training and everything else. So you go there and then they will, maybe it's a group of 50 people, they will say, we want to do this with Honorable Magwebu and not with Honorable Hai. So you can't force them to do it with Honorable Hai, because it's their business. They want to associate their brand with Honorable Hai. So we will come in once you have gone through that process to actually provide funding. The same would apply to the retail sector, because we're using SPA as another example. So you're saying which provinces are benefiting? You need a breakdown on who these people are. We've done this in the past.
Yeah.
It excites us to do it, actually, you know, because it's a, we just wish once you have received the information that you could publish the information so that people can see that, you know, any expands at different levels. From a person who was a truck driver who now wants to own the truck to the, you know, specialist doctors that we were talking about earlier on. So if Honorable Magwebu, if you need this breakdown, it's available, it will show you all the, you know, the investments that we have actually done in all of the 9 provinces. Turnaround, I think we will deal with that question on turnaround. Questions from Honorable Dikhale, saying no transaction in Limpopo. Honorable Dikhale, you'd be excited to know that we've done a lot of good investments in Limpopo. I wish we could have had time to show you the 4-star hotel that we've just built in the model called Amazon. I'm sure you've seen the Amazon. So we started from scratch, working with the black entrepreneurs, and I hear that everybody who goes to Limpopo wants to see themselves, you know, as the occupancy rate is very high. The hotel is doing very, very well. We also have a very good project in the apple processing sector. I can name many of those examples, and we would be happy to share that information with you. And then you are saying with the project that we're actually showing in the video, like Fastgolf and the hospital, how do we get our money back? Is it a donation? You know, if that was a donation, Honorable Dikgale, I don't think that any F would still be around. Because remember I said we had 2.4 billion. It went to the economy and then it came back and then it has gone back. So they have to repay their loans. If it's equity, you wait for a 3-5 year term to actually get your money back. So we get our money back so that we can actually reinvest the same funds in other entities. So that was on page 12 of the presentation, so you can just blow it on the board so that the honorable member can see how this money has been collected from the economy over a period of time. I think all in all, we have now collected 2.8 billion that has come back to the NES. The breakdown, you wanted to see the breakdown for our human capital, you know, how many women and people with disabilities and so on. 64% of our employees are women, and the target for the women employment number is 90%. So maybe... maybe the chair won't be around when we come back next time. No, I'm joking, but we have the highest number of women employees and women managers and executives. And we are raising an issue, honorable member, that the women target is 40%. Why not 95%? We always try to get as many women-owned businesses. In fact, when we see women-owned businesses, you know, come to the NEF, we become very excited and we go out of our way to support them. And then on my belief, as my colleague will deal with that, Honorable Hai, on the 10 billion that was never dispersed, I think the DTI will be better placed, you know, to deal with that. Issue is actually linked to the question that was raised by Honorable Fadi, where he was arguing that this thing that is called the NEF should not even be in existence, that you should actually meet. I think I can't speak for the previous administration, but I know for a fact that the previous president, Thabo Mbeki, was at the forefront of the establishment of the National Empowerment Fund. I think
my apologies. Let me just remind you, you have 10 minutes left. If you stay.
Yes. So what he had in mind was, you see, the IDC was set up way back then, 75 years ago, to give the Afrikaners a sense of pride. So if you see a lot of these big entities that are owned by white South Africans, a lot of them were funded by the IDC. So he wanted to come up with a model that would actually try and mirror what the Afrikaners had achieved and done very well. I mean, I fully agree with you. And do it for black people. The same model, the same funding model. So when he looked at how the IDC was funded, it's exactly the same as the NEF. But you couldn't just say, NEF, at that time, you must be under the IDC, because as a black person, sometimes we are even too scared to, you know, you are a tracker, you can't even speak English, you don't even know how to prepare a business plan. So in a way, the NEF has actually helped to instill that sense of pride among black people. I think that's where it comes from. So the time is right now to merge the two, but I don't think there was anything wrong with the original model. the backdrop my colleague will deal with is we never steal ideas. If there's anybody, Honorable Khai, you're saying, do they steal ideas? I mean, our investment professionals, no, they don't do that. Do you help with the identification of a site? We handhold our investors. So once we believe in the concept, we'll go with them all the way. And what kind of assistance do we need on Mabele Fuels? Shengwe will deal with it when he deals with the other issues. What about the Eastern Cape? We just want them to be, the Eastern Cape government, to be aware of some of the challenges that we have with the construction portfolio. So there's a policy in government that says you must pay your SMMEs within a 30-day period. If you don't pay them within a 30-day period, we are killing them. So we've been so, there's a lot of willingness, as I said, from the top, but at the bottom, that's where a lot of discussions should happen, and we'd be happy to have a roundtable discussion with the Eastern Cape government. We've done it with other provincial governments as well, just to see how we can come out of that particular situation. And then question from Honorable Fave on the, you know, the industrial project. How will we create the 85,000 jobs? We would have to take you on a project by project basis, because on the 85,000 jobs, we have already, for instance, spoken about the Mabele Fuel project. There's 16,000 jobs, just one project. There is the RMI project that is there, which also has the, you know, the capacity to create something like 10,000 jobs, where we are partnering with, you know, the BRICS countries to develop that particular. So it's mostly in the manufacturing sectors of the economy. We have another one in the Eastern Cape where we are looking at, producing disposable syringes. It's in the manufacturing sector. We realize that the NEF, that South Africa and the whole of SADC and the whole of Sub-Saharan Africa, that we've been a net importer of disposable syringes. As a country alone, we use about 1 billion syringes. Can you imagine the potential there? So when we say we're looking at what Mr. Trump is doing in the U.S., we're not coming up with protectionists, but we're saying we want to enhance the export earning potential of our enterprises. So those are the types of projects that we are looking at. And then Honorable Nyambose, is there a focus on smaller towns? The NES has the capacity. That's why I was talking about our skill set and expertise. We can do anything. If you give us money, the sky is the limit. You're saying, can we develop small towns, you know, resuscitate them? We have started, but we need more funds. We are capable of starting big manufacturing plants, small enterprises, you name it. Restructuring, thing we'll deal with it. And then Honorable Ntebe, 68% of declines. Oh, Honorable Fabio, you're saying Northern Cape only has 0% for SPF projects and 2.1% in our invested portfolio. I think what we need to realize, Honorable Members, is that our ability to fund depends on the economic activity that is taking place in those areas. That's the first thing. The other determinant also would come from, if government is driving transformation in BEE, it creates opportunities for the companies that we end up investing in. So Gauteng, for instance, I'm sure you may have seen the Premier there, Makhura. I mean, he's very focused on transformation, BEE, resuscitation of rural economies and so on. Because of that, you get a flurry of applications that are coming from that province. So if all the provinces were to do the same thing, then it becomes much easier for us to invest in those particular areas. So it's, yeah, a win-win situation. It becomes a win-win situation for everybody. 60%, Honorable Ntebe, slide 16, you're saying 68% of the applications were declined. declined and we only approve certain entities who it talks to our recapitalization issues with the funds that we have at our disposal, you can only do so much. But when you get transactions, you are also not going to end up funding them. So if we're to raise 1 billion for this financial year, you'll still not be able to cover all the applications that we actually received. So if we're to get appropriate recapitalization, I think we could actually do more, but obviously not do the full 10.5 billion, because that was the value of the transactions that we had received. So here we're just trying to demonstrate the level of appetite and activity that we're seeing from our black entrepreneurs. We are saying, Honorable Member, and see, we were saying there's one company in the Northern Cape, one in the Eastern Cape, North West is not there. It talks to the same issue that I've just raised, that everybody has to be active, the local government, the provincial government, if they create opportunities. My staff members, when you say they must go to, you know, it's difficult for them to go and work in these provinces, because they are saying, we are trying, we all are trying to organize, you know, conferences for black entrepreneurs. They will come, but there are no applications, there are no opportunities. So somebody must create those particular opportunities. And that we have reduced. So for us, we have reduced our funding from housing to, we reduced it to 44% from 66%. We reduced it by 12%. And for us, that was a very big achievement, honorable members, because if you look at the makeup of the GDP of the South African economy, Gauteng takes the lion's share, but we've been able to actually reduce it gradually. So we're sitting at 44%, maybe going forward we'll even achieve lower, much lower rates of investment. But unfortunately, if those black entrepreneurs want to work with us and it's lucrative investments, we'll continue to work with them. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to my friend.
Thank you, CEO, and thank you, Chairperson. The question around the turnaround time for applications, it ranges between 6 weeks and 12 weeks. But as the CEO was saying, that we hand hold our investees. So in some instances, you know, the process will take longer because we are helping the investee to have a more funding-ready application. As the entrepreneur earlier on from APM was saying, you know, when he came to us, his application was not really ready to be funded. So we had to partner to handhold him to say these are the things you must put in place. But if, you know, you come, you want funding for a franchise, everything is ready, you've been approved, you have a site and so forth, it can take, 6 weeks. But because generally when we handhold, it takes more time because we don't want to just turn people away. And then on the issue of Mabele, I think the really, as I was saying earlier on, the assistance is around policy decisions from the government, because the private sector investors that partnered with us and also invested their own money in developing the project partnered with us because we all thought that, you know, this was government policy was going to be implemented. So everything was in place except for the issue of the pricing mechanism, you know, how do you price this biofuel? So if the honourable members could assist in terms of, you know, just nudging, you know, the relevant departments to make those decisions, because as it was said earlier on, the funding was, the project was fully funded, you know, through the private sector and other DFIs. And in terms of, the partnership or the structure, we had a number of emerging farmers from the Free State who are already in the sorghum, farming business. So they were going to manage the issue of the sorghum, how we, you know, the issues of bed control and making sure that we achieve the levels of tonnages that we'll require. So everything was in place in terms of, you know, how they currently manage it in their own farms. And in terms of the turnaround, In our turnaround department at the moment, we have 16 transactions that are literally in, we can call ICU and high care. And because we didn't let those transactions, you know, go down the drain, we have saved 1,605 jobs. Actually, one of those transactions is in the Northern Cape. We've been, you know, informed by our colleagues that it's called Delta. So it's a textile business that manufactures, you know, formal office wear. We've been told that they are the second highest employer in that area. So we had to, you know, when the business was not doing well, we had to go out, find equity partners to make sure that, you know, we preserve those jobs. Another one, and another example, the business in the Eastern Cape is called, it's called Stadbrick. It was in so much trouble, you know, it's supposed to just shut down, and we're going to lose about over 200 jobs in, it's like in a rural area, and most of those people depend on that business. So even there, we had to intervene. We had to, you know, put in a little bit more money just to save the over 200 jobs, because we understand the multiplier impact of those 200 people losing their jobs. And then in terms of the strike, you know, so what we do, for example, the guy with the buses, because the strike affected everyone in the bus industry, so the NEF has actually given them about 3 months moratorium to go back into business and start, you know, generating revenue so that they are able to pay us. Because before the strike, they had been up to date in terms of their payment, a very good client. So we've given them moratorium, but if, you know, if we need to relook, as the CEO said earlier on, our turnaround, also look at balance sheet restructures and so forth. Those are all the things that we do for our clients when they are facing challenges. Thank you, Chair. I think I've covered it.
You have 2 minutes of extra time. Do what Argentina did. But I want to get first you, Chair, and then we'll get Didier a chance to respond as well.
I'd like to formally thank you, Chair, and honourable members of the subcommittee for allowing us this opportunity to present on the NEF and our plans for the coming year. We take these engagements very seriously, and we value the input from the honourable members and guidance. The particular issue around let's call them provinces outside of Gauteng, it's been an emphasis of the board for the last 4 or 5 years. To post moratorium, to make sure that we drive the investment professionals to look at provinces, particularly Limpopo, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and a few others, and that's a KPI in our performance agreement with the DTI, which we drive quite hard. The last point I'd like to make is around the recapitalization. My colleagues from the DTI will talk about that, but that is the single point of really strategic importance at the NEF. It's number one on our risk register. And it's a key priority of the board. If you ask me what keeps me awake at night on the NEF, it is that one single point on recapitalization. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to respond to, I think, a question that you had, as well as Honourable Father. But also, firstly, just to support the point that the CEO has made, I think the NEF is the only institution that is mandated by legislation to actively drive and support BEE. And I think the DTI recognises the critical role that they play. Chair, just in response to the recapitalisation process, there's been a CAB memo that's been developed by both ministries, DTI and Economic Development. And I think it's just a matter of timing. Both ministers want to be in cabinet when that's tabled, and I think, unfortunately, my minister's international engagements
in the next two cabinet meetings, he won't be here, but he has definitely prioritized that. So they've had a meeting, I think, a few days ago, where they've discussed all of these matters, and the cab memo is actually ready to be discussed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I also say on the recapitalization, the Honourable High said that we will raise questions to the executive, but we'll also see whether we could engage, because we're all in recess now. Otherwise, we could have given a quicker response on that. But there are still some questions that I'm going to ask you to respond to us on in writing, emanating from this array of questions. The one is the provincial breakdown raised by the Honourable Makhwebo. Can you give that to us in writing? It's clear because you answered part of it. It's a statistical question, so we can understand. Then the Honourable Hai raised the question about industrial property recourse. Do you help people? People have a brand. The Honourable Hai said they present a business plan to you and it's not approved. How do you make sure that whatever they have presented to you remains protected? I mean, you've seen what happened with this young man that was being pictured in the jerseys and socks with the company in Spain, you see, where they say no, and then this company was just selling his range. Tell us a little bit more about that. Then the final one that you did not deal with is how many defaulters. That was a question by Yambosi. How many defaulters have you assisted? Right? Is that one? The question is clear. Because it's also statistical. So if you could give those to us. We want to appreciate the work that you are doing. We want to also assure you that we are sharing the anxiety about the prospects that there are in our country for economic transformation, and appreciate the role that the NAF is playing in that space. Some of us, I'm not going to speak on behalf of all of us, I don't have a mandate, was very worried when we heard about why does NAF now have to go to ETT, and some explanations have been given to us on that. Wherever you are, we know that the work that you have would continue. We just share with CEO your anxieties also that now you have these competent people in the organization. And it's important that they also, I know, as workers ourselves, we always feel that you feel affirmed if you are busy. And for some of your staff to be sitting there not knowing exactly how they can better assist, particularly when people come to you. But let me make a broader statement on that, Honourable Members. We have a big problem with inequalities in our society. I raised it the other day in the House about the provincial inequalities. It's not only with the NAF, Honourable Father, that we have the problem in the Northern Cape. In the lotteries, there are three problems. There are three provinces that do not apply for funding. And it's the same provinces. It's Northwest, it's Northern Cape, and Free State. The provinces that are very vigorous. And in Honourable Dikhale, you don't have to worry because of Limpopo. Limpopo is very vibrant in terms of accessing funding from the lotteries. KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Gauteng, Free State. No, they're not.
Like the
well, it's unlike Free State Stars, you see. But let us also, when we represent the province, look at how do we advocate for these things within the provinces. mean, when we had our provincial hotline, it wasn't the legislature thing. It was a party political thing. I was there to say, you sent me to conserve you on economic matters. These are the economic opportunities. That are the things that you should do. And let us look at it also in that way. But also then, not kill ourselves. Not because I come from Gauteng. I would, for example, not see the Graskop facility in Gauteng. You know, Graskop is where God lives. Right? Anyway, you can go to God's window. Yeah. It's a beautiful part of the country. And you don't have those facilities in Gauteng. Therefore, that investment can happen in Graskop. But Honorable Ntebe, just the last one, because I always tease him on that. You see, they manufacture the platinum. Then they send it to us in Gauteng, and in Springs, we then use that same platinum to manufacture batteries and resend it to the mines again in the Northwest. And we're saying, no, why can't we have that battery manufacturing facility in the Northwest? When you ask business will say, but no, we won't be able to attract the skills, we're going to be far from this, we're going to be far from that. So infrastructure development becomes a very important element of such economic development. Just to say that we are aware of the dynamics and would want to wish you well with a good report that you give to us. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we're going to deal with two matters. The one is the minutes of the last meeting. Have we all seen the minutes?
Yes.
Do I need to go through it page by page?
No.
I have a change. You see, Rebecca sent this to me, and I said to him before, and I'm going to say it again. I am not an editor. You see, on point 3.4, honorable members, Rebecca, have you changed the numbers? There was part, oh yeah, it is 3.6. 3.6, where you're supposed to put the Minister of Tourism, you put the Minister of Trade and Industry. Right? And they're two completely different breed of fish. With that change, honorable members, are we happy? Huh? Yes. Honorable Kai proposes?
No.
Do we have a second?
But before I move, I'm not a MM. I see I'm addressed as the MM.
Oh.
I'm not a municipal manager.
Okay, just correct. Now, Rebecca, now we're going to give you instructions. When you give us the minutes of the last meeting, we want you to have a slot that says amendments. If there are amendments, you put them in that minute. Okay? So you'll put the amendments that we changed the Minister of Tourism to the Minister of Transport to Tourism. We changed Kai to the correct initial, Honorable Dikhale.
Thank you very much, Captain. I would also ask Rebecca to change the MS to MRS. I'm still married. I never divorced. And I will never divorce. I miss it. Not miss.
And this Dlamini. Is that correct? It should be Dlamini.
Dlamini, yeah.
There's no surname like Dlamini.
No.
Okay. So that's the five changes that we have there.
The amendments are now adequate. Can I move for the adoption?
Okay, it's adopted by the Honourable Tede, sponsored by the Honourable Ntetwa.
Is it the one that you made me to sponsor?
No, not Ntetwa. Honourable Matebula. Right, Honourable Matebula. You have the name right. Leave the gift. Honourable members, two announcements. The one announcement, it's two A and B.
The
one is we have here the information that was requested. Honorable Mokwebu. No, I mean announcement.
Are you taking us back?
No, we have a big fine.
The announcement is that we have this report from the Department of Tourism on the questions that we raised for them. Remember, they couldn't finish, so that's the solution. I wanted to have that on record. The other one is we also requested further information from the SA Bureau of Standards, and they have also provided that. So can I ask that we put that on record?
That information on defective condoms.
Is enough?
No.
How many do you want?
What are you worried? You're going to mention your name?
No, I remember my table on your body. You wanted the protective condoms.
Okay.
The superiors didn't also forward this additional information to all members of the committee.
But I thought you received it.
No, sir.
You better.
No, I'm my apologies, honorable members. I'm terribly sorry, because it's not supposed to come to me. This is straightforward stuff that goes to everybody. I'm terribly sorry. But it's good that I raised it here now, you know, how we can set up.
If you're done with the announcement, I want to also indicate that at 2 o'clock we're meeting in the same thing as a select committee on the economic and business development.
Thank you.
Are you serving us lunch before
yes.
you? Because last time the members came late for lunch.
No lunch.
No lunch.
No lunch.
Had I known, I could have asked NAF to fund the lunch. Honorable Mtebe is the last word, then we discuss.
The soft copy of the presentation by in, I wanted to raise this in their absence. That I received. It's not the same presentation that they presented here. There was a portion where they also indicated the funding recipients, and there was also a condom, male condom production company that they funded. They did not present that. As an example, I'm just saying, if there's been amendments, at least we must be indicated to, so that we know that the presentation that we have is different from the presentation that we have.
Roche agrees with you, and I also agree with you. What they present here must be what they sent to us 3 days ago. So we can cut. So Roche, just look at that, and if there is a fault, just say to them that you can say that I have raised
I'm
it.
I'm only the woke member in this convention.
Yeah. You are smart. You kept the condom
box. I'm inviting you all to my office for a smoke break.
Oh, you
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be
chucked off. Chucked off from where?